This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دع الأيام تفعل ما تشاء وطب نفسا إذا حكم القضاء ولا تجزع لحادثة الليالي فما لحوادث الدنيا بقاء.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. Dear Muslims, the doors of Ramadan, the doors of Jannah in Ramadan are about to be opened. And when we look at the excitement that people have for this dunya, when we look at when the latest iPhone is coming out and people are counting the days down, when we look at the Thanksgiving sales that take place, you know, on Black Friday, people are lined up the night before. To be brutally honest, when we look at the latest movie coming out, was it the Marvel or whatever, Batman or whatever these things, and our kids are literally, maybe even the kids' parents, are counting down the days that they can go see that latest movie. Well, the doors of Jannah are about to be opened up, as we all know. Barely a few days are left before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the angels to fling open every single door of Jannah. How excited are we? How eager are we to be lined up like the people of this dunya are lined up to get something of this world? How excited are we, like our children are excited when something amazing is about to happen in their world and their paradigm? When our Lord Jalla Jalaluhu will announce to chain up every single shaitan. When our Lord will announce every single night that people will be saved from Jahannam. People will make their way to Jannah because of what they're doing in this month of Ramadan. And you know, all of us, to be honest, our spirits are a little bit down because of this lockdown, because of this pandemic. But what better time for Ramadan to come? Because we need something to cheer us up. We need something to break our routine. We need something to do. And Ramadan is the opportunity to do. Ramadan is the time of action. We all know that this month of Ramadan is the only month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned by name in the Qur'an. No other month is mentioned by name. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ, Allah says in the Qur'an. The month of Ramadan is the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Qur'an. The month of Ramadan is the month that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in Ghari Hira, was contemplating, and when Jibreel came down and said to him, اقرأ. Allah intentionally chose the month of Ramadan and intentionally chose the day of Laylatul Qadr, the night of Laylatul Qadr. The day after that was the day that Iqra began to come down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the month where one of the main causes of forgiveness for the Muslim, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays the five prayers, and whoever prays Jumu'ah to Jumu'ah, and whoever fasts Ramadan to Ramadan, all of the sins in between them are going to be forgiven. We all know the blessings of the fast. We've heard khutbas about the blessings of the fasting. Inshallah, we'll be reminding ourselves today's khutbah was about that, and the rest, the next khutbahs as well throughout Ramadan are going to be about all of these ayat and hadith that we always hear about the blessings of Ramadan. The famous one, the hadith which is muttafaq alayh, in which Abu Huraira said, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jal says, so this is hadith Qudsi, that every single deed that the son of Adam does, it is his. And I shall reward him from 1 to 700 times, from 10 to 700 times, every single deed, except for the fasting. That deed, I have taken it. And when Allah says, I have taken it, it is a matter of honor. It is a matter of wanting this great and magnificent thing for himself. Allah is saying, all the other deeds, I'll let the son of Adam take it, and I will reward him from 10 to 700 times. But this one deed that he does, the deed of fasting, I want to take it myself. It is something that is an honor. In Arabic, we call it tashrif. It is Allah's sharaf that he is saying that the fasting is a deed that I will claim directly for myself, and only I will give the son of Adam his reward. Meaning, The rewards of 10 to 700 will not apply to the fasting. If I give $1 in charity, the minimum I will get back on the Day of Judgment is a reward for $10. Some people, for that same dollar, might get 100 reward. Some people might even get the reward of $700. It depends on their intentions, on how much they needed it, on the circumstances. So $1 can literally stretch 700 in the eyes of Allah. Every deed can stretch from 10 to 700, except for a few. A few of those deeds, they go بغير حساب, without counting. And of them, of course, is the fast of Ramadan. And this is why this month of Ramadan is so precious. This is why every single Muslim on the face of this earth, no matter how weak their iman is, no matter how much they're struggling in this month of Ramadan, every one of us who has an atom's weight of iman, we raise our bar. Every one of us who has a beating pulse of iman, we do something extra we would not do outside this month of Ramadan. And that is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the Day of Judgment, the fasting of Ramadan and the Quran of Ramadan, the both of them will intercede on behalf of the people who would fast and the people who would recite Quran. And the both of them will say that, oh Allah, the fasting will say, this person, I deprived him of his food and his drink, so forgive him. And the Quran will say, oh Allah, this person, I deprived him of his sleep, meaning here his qiyam, his tahajjud, his tarawih. I deprived him of his sleep, so forgive him. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will insha'Allah ta'ala forgive those who are righteous in this month of Ramadan. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded us that this month of Ramadan comes with so many blessings. As I already mentioned, the doors of Jannah are opened, the gates of Jahannam are shut, every single shaitan of the evil shayateen are locked up, and every single night the angels announce, every single night, whoever wants to be forgiven, come forward, whoever wants Jannah, come, and whoever wants other than this, then go, you will be destroyed. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in that famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari, that the one who is not able to be forgiven in Ramadan will never be able to be forgiven. If you cannot be forgiven in Ramadan, there is no hope for you, because Ramadan has all the opportunities laid out for us. Now, today's brief lecture, I'm not going to be talking too long. I didn't want to talk about the blessings of Ramadan. You've heard them all before. We've all heard these ayat and hadith, and inshallah we'll continue hearing them in the khutbas and in the other lectures. What I wanted to do is to talk a little bit about Ramadan in light of the lockdown. Ramadan in light of this COVID-19 and in light of us, all of us being at home. And give us some practical tips that what can we do in light of this reality that we are facing. And then inshallah ta'ala mention some of what our masjid EPIC is going to do as well in this month of Ramadan, and how you can help out, especially in this month of Ramadan. Now realize that this question of Ramadan, or this issue of Ramadan, is in fact an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The mu'min always looks at every single thing that happens as an opportunity. The mu'min never has a losing attitude. The mu'min is always optimistic. The mu'min sees whatever happens and says, Allah wants good for me. Allah is doing this for a wisdom that's going to benefit me. So there's a lockdown taking place. All of us are shut in our homes. All of us are not even socializing. And now this month has come. It is, there's no question, an element of depression. We all feel it. I feel it, you feel it, that we're not going to have that spirit that we're accustomed to. Fair enough. But this means we need to rediscover a new spirit of Ramadan. We need to rediscover the original spirit of Ramadan. We need to go back to the way it used to be in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the time of the Sahaba, and realize that this notion of optimism, this notion of reading in the best, this notion of striving, this is the whole point. And alhamdulillah, insha'Allah ta'ala, because this Ramadan is taking place in this lockdown, we actually have the opportunity to make this Ramadan our best Ramadan. But in order for that to happen, dear Muslims, dear viewers, dear fathers and mothers, dear sons and daughters, dear everyone, and I speak to myself before I speak to any of you, we're going to have to get into the right frame of mind. We're going to have to get rid of these shackles of pessimism and depression. And we're going to have to shake off the laziness that has struck so many of us in the last 3 weeks. We're going to have to shut down those soap operas and those dramas left and right that we're watching. We're going to have to get out those copies of the Quran and to get into the mode and the frame of mind. Dear Muslims, if you're not going to stand up and do something, nothing is going to happen. You have to put in the effort to see the result. Remember what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, once again this is a hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if a servant comes close to me a hands with, I come close to him an arms with. And if a servant comes close to me walking, I come to him running. And if a servant comes to me with an earth full of sins and asks my forgiveness, I shall come to him with an earth full of forgiveness. Notice this hadith. If my servant comes close to me a hand span, I come close to him an arm span, an arm's length. Meaning what? You put in a little bit and Allah will bless it manifold. You walk to Allah and the Prophet said Allah is going to come running towards you. You put in the effort. If you are not going to put in the effort, if you're going to be lazy, if you're going to be pessimistic, if you're going to be depressed all day long, well then don't blame anyone but yourself. Ramadan is around the corner. Barely 5 days are left. In all likelihood, Thursday night is the first Taraweeh. It's already Friday night. So Thursday, most likely, depending on again, the circumstances, but most likely Thursday is going to be our first Taraweeh. We had better get into the spirit. We had better start preparing from now. And inshaAllah ta'ala, in light of this lockdown, in light of this COVID pandemic, in fact, let us look at the silver linings. Let us look at the positives rather than the negatives. As I said, we have the potential to make this Ramadan the very best Ramadan of our lives. Why and how? Well, let us look at the differences. In the past, we would always give excuses that I'm too tired. Work has been very long for me. I have a full day of work. By the time you get home, by the time you've used all that energy in your office, you're mentally drained. You're completely psychologically tired. You're physically exhausted. Most of us now are working from home. Most of us now don't have the same type of schedule and the same amount of pressure that the workplace itself gave us. And we have some more leeway now that we're at home. So inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll have extra energy for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the previous years, we would spend so much time in the car driving the kids to school, driving ourselves to work. Maybe some of us would spend an hour, maybe even 2 hours every single day in the car, back and forth, doing this, doing that, chores. Well, all of that has now been shut down. There is no long car journeys. And so we have that extra free time. What excuse do we have then for not using that time to do extra Quran? What excuse do we have for not opening the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and paying attention to the Quran, which is this is the month of the Quran. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Dear Muslims, before Allah tells us that Ramadan is about fasting, twice Allah tells us Ramadan is about the Quran. Let that point sink in. Ramadan is more about the Quran than it is about fasting if you read the actual verses. And yet for many of us, the Quran does not play a central role. Now, inshallah, we have the time and we have the energy to spend more time with the Quran. And subhanallah, previous years, the fact of the matter again, let's be brutally honest here, that previous years, a lot of times, Ramadan was not our healthiest month. Many of us would in fact gain weight in the month of Ramadan, despite the fact that we're supposed to be losing weight. It's an opportunity to make our health, better. And the reason, of course, we all know is that almost every second day, or some of us every day, mashallah, we're invited to some sumptuous meal, some multi-course meal that we don't even get on an average, feast outside of Ramadan. Now, every single day of Ramadan, we would be eating fancy meals. Well, guess what? All of that, alhamdulillah, in some ways, alhamdulillah, it has now been shut down. So what better time for you to sit down with your family and literally plan out a healthy meal plan. Plan out a meal plan that inshaAllah ta'ala will take care of your body. Yes, we're taking care of our soul, I hope so. Now Ramadan is also the time to have us a positive excuse to get our body in shape. add, along with the spiritual regiment of the Qur'an and the Taraweeh, add some time for exercise, add some time for some type of house activities, some type of ways that you can burn some calories, add a healthy meal plan. Now you have no excuse that somebody's inviting me and the host is going to be not feeling good if I only take the salad and leave all of that, as if that was the real excuse anyway. We all know we want the samosa and pakoras, but that's besides the point. There is no excuse you can give now, right? It's your house. You are in charge now. So sit with the family and make a healthy meal plan so that insha'Allah ta'ala you take care of your body along with taking care of your soul. And you know what? That is Islamic as well. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, اِعْطِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. Give everything and every person the right that is due to it. Your body has a right over you, the hadith says. Literally, إِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٍ. Your body has a right over you. Many of us are neglecting the health of our bodies. This is a month where, inshaAllah ta'ala, we have that entire month. We are not going to be eating for more than 15 hours a day. Let us not overeat and splurge for the rest of the 8-9 hours. Let us eat in a healthy manner and we will realize how beautiful it is when we eat healthy and we live healthy. We're going to feel spiritually better and we're going to feel physically better as well. And give some time to the body like we're giving some time to the soul. Also, in the previous years, we would go to the masjid every single night, many of us. Most of us would go every single night. We would leave our houses half an hour before Taraweeh, spend time, you know, in the parking lot, figuring where to park, get out and socialize, and then stand, you know, very tightly packed, you know, in cramped rows. There's noises here, you know, people, not everybody is smelling all the way the best, and some people are belching, you know, awkward and whatnot. This is the reality. Now, alhamdulillah, we are in charge of our own rituals. Nobody's going to tell us what time. No parking lots. No busy crowds. It's us and ourselves between in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that private rituals are supposed to be. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed tahajjud and qiyamul layl and taraweeh by himself. It just so happened once or twice in his life that some people prayed behind him. Accidentally, he never announced taraweeh. Taraweeh was never a public ceremony in his lifetime. And in the lifetime of Abu Bakr and Umar ibn al-Khattab, even when Umar radiallahu and allowed Taraweeh to be prayed, he himself would pray at home along with the elite of the Sahaba, because they understood that Qiyam and Taraweeh and Tahajjud is better at home because you have privacy. So you can do as long as you want. You can make the recitation as long as you want. You can choose the surahs that you want. You can make the du'as that you want. You have no worries about people looking at you or jostling or shoving. It is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the ultimate spirit of Qiyam. Dear Muslims, this opportunity might not come back again, because let us be honest here, and I will be the first to admit that who doesn't love praying behind somebody with a good voice? That has a beauty, no question about that. But I'm not going to deny, or I'm not going to change the fact that more important than the beauty of the Qur'an is the spirit of your dua. More important than somebody else's recitation is your own ikhlas in your heart. And that ikhlas and that sincerity and that humility, it can be developed. In fact, it is only developed in secrecy and private. You cannot have the level of ikhlas that is necessary when you're always in public. You have to put yourself in the privacy of between you and Allah in the middle of the night. That is the ultimate qiyam. And I remind you, especially, dear Muslims, I remind you especially of the last third of the night. Perhaps no other opportunity will come when we're able to pray regularly in Ramadan in the last third of the night. Wake up the last 2 hours before Salat al-Fajr. Wake up at that point in time and spend some time in dua, in privacy, in secrecy between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one else needs to hear your dua. Open up your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Begin a conversation the likes of which you've never had, because that is the ultimate point of Ramadan, and in fact really of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what better time to discover the sweetness of that conversation than this lockdown and pandemic? What better time for us to gain Allah's reward and Allah's mercy and Allah's protection and Allah's maghfirah than right now when we need it the most? So this might be the very best qiyamul layl and taraweeh we have ever prayed in our entire lives if we have the correct spirit. As well, dear Muslims, typically speaking, Ramadan was at the expense of the family. The schedules were so busy. You're bustling between your job, between your sleep, between the masjid. You hardly have time to sit with your family. Well, guess what? This will be the Ramadan of and for the family. This is going to be the Ramadan where we rediscover the importance of the ties of kinship, and we strengthen and we solidify that bond that Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to solidify. Let us look at this Ramadan as the opportunity to perfect that bonds of the family, or in Arabic it is called Silatul Rahim. In the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the silatul rahim, or the concept of family, it's an interesting hadith. The family, how it did so, we do not know. But the family, it held on to the throne of Allah when Allah created the concept of family. So Allah created the concept of family, and ar-rahim, or the concept of family, it held on to the throne, and it asked Allah, "What status do I have? What is my maqam, O Allah?" And Allah azza wa jalla said, "Are you not happy that whoever fulfills you, whoever connects you, is connected with me? And whoever breaks you has broken off with me." So whoever connects the family is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever breaks off the family, astaghfirullah, but he has broken off with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the month of connecting with Allah through and via the means of connecting with the family. And go ahead and be selfish. What do I mean by this? Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man sarrahu an yubsata fi rizqihi wa yunsa'a lahu fi atharihi falyasilu rahimahu." Whoever wants to increase his wealth and to live a longer life, let him be good to his family. This is an authentic hadith in the Sunan that our Prophet ﷺ explicitly told us, go ahead and want to be wealthy and want to live longer, and I'll tell you how to do that. How do you do that? Be good to your family. Establish the ties of kinship with your family. We're kind of all of us suffering economically these days, right? All of us, we're pinching, you know, from what's going on. We want more risk from Allah. Well then, let's make this Ramadan the Ramadan of the family. Let us spend time with our children. Try, dear parents, to inculcate some Islamic knowledge. Sit down together as a family, listen to a halaqah, or read a book, or go over a hadith a day, or go over a chapter of the Quran a day, or even an ayah a day. Try to pray taraweeh, and if you are able to combine between a group taraweeh and then the private one in the last third, that would be ideal. Maybe 2 or 4 rak'at with the kids, and then maybe at the end of the night by yourself, or however you want to do that. But try to spend some time of ibadah with the family. And insha'Allah ta'ala, the bonds of love that are established, yes, with the yelling and screaming and shouting that comes with the love, that's all a part of the family. The bonds of love that will be established, insha'Allah, they will last a lifetime after this crisis. Insha'Allah, I pray that decades from now, all of you will look back to this time frame. You're with sweet memories, with fond memories, with nostalgic memories, because you might never have this opportunity again to form the ties of kinship between siblings, between spouses. Try your best to make this the Ramadan of the family. Concentrate and prioritize on that. And this leads me to my next point, which needs to be said as well, that subhanAllah, let us be honest here, and I speak to the men folk, let us be honest here, dear men folk, that a lot of times we had expectations on the women that they would spend a large amount of time in the kitchen preparing the suhoor, doing the iftar. You know, most of the Ramadan might even be in the kitchen. And we would say the excuse for those women who didn't work, I'm talking about, that the men would say, "Oh, I'm too busy because I'm working. I'm too busy because I'm not home." And our women had to share had the lion's share of doing all of these chores. And you know, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not the commanding husband. He was not the husband who would snap at his wife, "Do this and do that." When somebody asked Aisha radiallahu anha, "What was the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" She said, "He would stand up and milk his own goat. He would mend his own shoes." Meaning he wasn't a domineering person. "Do this and do that and make my tea." That's not the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is an opportunity, dear husbands, to be honest here. And I know maybe my wife is looking at this, so I'm putting myself in the spot as well when I say this, that we have to increase increase our share. We have to take charge as much as is reasonable. And maybe if the husband is not working and the wife is working, then the situation is reversed. But I'm talking about the default, generally speaking. I'm speaking not as a gender role, but as a generality within our custom and culture, that typically the men are the ones who work more than the women. And so they would say that you have to do more chores. Well, now the both of them are at home, and the both of them are within the confines of, you know, the house, and therefore let us be fair and let us try to take on and help those that were in charge. If it was the other way around, then let the women do more than they used to, and if it was the typical scenario, let the men do more than they used to. And as well, go back to my 3 points ago, cut back on the quantity of food, cut back on this lavish meals, because truth be told, that is not the spirit of Ramadan, and we all know that deep down inside. That's not what Ramadan is supposed to be. It has become a time of festivities and a time of festivals. Ramadan has become 8-course meals every single day. Ramadan has become delectable dishes on a daily basis, and that is definitely, definitely not the spirit of Ramadan. So let us use this opportunity, this Ramadan, to rediscover. You know, subhanAllah, when I break my fast, I always think our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, we eat that one kujur, one date, and we move on to the full meal. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the meal was the dates, that's it. He would have 5 or 10 dates, and that is it. That was his dinner, his supper. That is what he would typically eat. That is all that he would eat. And that is just the token, one date to sweeten our mouth before we jump to the entire dishes in front of us. Now, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah that Allah has blessed us, you know, to have the opportunity to eat. I'm not saying don't eat anything more than dates. We're all going to eat more than dates, but don't have to go overboard. We don't have to have that much quantity at the expense of one person who also has to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, let us take on some chores, cut back the quantity of dishes, and inshaAllah ta'ala, together worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a better manner. As well, this Ramadan, we don't have the opportunity to even host multiple iftars. Because as we know, every household, every one of us, not only would we visit, we would host. And when we host, we would spend a fortune, and we would go to great extents and decorate and, you know, cutlery and this and that. Well, guess what? This is the opportunity. Instead of spending those $500 or $1,000 on the iftars for, alhamdulillah, middle and upper class people, let's use that money and gift it to iftars for those who cannot afford it. Let's find the opportunity. Where are people who cannot even afford a meal? We would all spend money on our lavish iftars. Let's be honest here. This Ramadan, there are no lavish iftars. Let us make sure we spend the same amount or even more on iftars. Might not be as lavish, but wallahi, they are more essential, and they are more rewarding, and they are more mubarak than our fancy lavish iftars that we were used to doing. So let us spend that money that we would spend in other previous Ramadans, let us spend it on those who don't even have that meal a day. And there are plenty of charities around the globe, there are plenty of opportunities in refugee camps, in smaller places or villages, in places where socioeconomically there are underprivileged people. So many opportunities are there. And you always can find this online, or also many of you have family or friends that can help out, know people elsewhere. And even here in Dallas, there are opportunities, as we are coming to as well. And one other point as well, before I move on to some of our programs here for this month, inshallah ta'ala. One other point as well, that in this month we will kind of sort of be locked up, right? Not fully locked up like prisoners, but still locked up. And perhaps we will get just a partial, just a 10% or even 5% or even 1% of what it's like for people around the world who might be refugees, who cannot go anywhere because they're in camps, who might even be in prisons like the Uyghurs, like the people who are unjustly put in prisons by tyrannical regimes, who are torturing them just because they say they are Muslims. And I'm not, a'udhu billah, comparing our 5-star luxury treatment here in our houses with what they are doing. A'udhu billah. But there's just a whiff, just a small pinch that, you know, if we are finding this awkward and difficult, how about people that are far more difficult than us? Perhaps this Ramadan, we can be reminded of their plight. Not so that we can be more grateful to Allah. And then do whatever we can to help those that are less in need. My point for going over all of this list, dear Muslims, was so that insha'Allah ta'ala, we have a different frame of mind. Do not approach this Ramadan as if it's going to be your worst. I am telling you, we have the potential that this Ramadan is our best Ramadan of our lives. We have the potential that this Ramadan will be the sweetest Ramadan that we have ever experienced, but only if we put in the effort. Because we have to put in the effort. Allah Azza wa Jal may even give us a miracle if we put in the effort. You know, by the way, even the miracles of the prophets, they had to put in some effort. Every single miracle without exception. When Maryam is giving birth, and she is starving and there's nothing to eat and there's nobody around her, what does Allah say in the Quran? وَهُزِّ إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. Go and shake the tree and the dates are going to fall. You know, if Allah had willed, it would have rained dates. And Maryam couldn't even have stood up. And she's in the pains of birth. Still, Allah says, reach over and shake. Just shake, then the dates are going to fall. When Musa is with Fir'aun and he's rushing and he sees the sea and he doesn't know what's going to happen and he asks Allah, I need your help, give me a miracle, oh Allah. Allah could have said, blink and I'll show you the miracle. But what did Allah say? Raise your staff and strike the ocean. Even when the ocean is going to split, and it is going to split right at that point in time, when the Red Sea is going to part, even then Musa has to put in the effort and Musa has to do something to get that miracle. If that is for a blatant miracle that the Quran talks about, how about the smaller miracles that we want? The miracle of iman, the miracle of sweetness, the miracle of the ladha of ibadah. We're going to have to put in a little bit of effort to get that miracle back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we don't put in that effort, we have no one to blame but ourselves. So there's a lot of opportunities, dear Muslims, and because of this, inshallah ta'ala, we here at EPIC, we sat down multiple times, not physically, we had meetings online and whatnot, don't worry, we were being very careful about the 6 feet social distancing, and we figured out and we tried our best, what is the best way forward, what can we do here at EPIC? So we're going to have a bunch of lectures specifically for every single segment. We have youth lectures, we have lectures for the sisters almost daily, sisters tafsir almost daily, Ustad Ba'jud is going to have a daily lecture, a daily dua every single day before iftar. He's going to teach you a new dua. Imam Nadeem is going to have a lecture as well every single day. Myself, I'm going to team up with Hafiz Sajjad, and every single day at 10 p.m. from 10 to 11, every single day, live, Hafiz Sajjad is going to recite a little bit of Quran, and then I will explain that juz. We're going to do 30 juz in 30 days, inshallah ta'ala. Every single day, we're going to have a summary of that juz, and maybe concentrate our one or two verses. The goal being, many of us have never ever read the Quran cover to cover with meaning. Many of us don't even know what juz number 3 says, juz number 7 says. So the goal of this is in 30 days, inshallah, get a bird eye view. It's not going to be a detailed tafsir. I've done that for a number of surahs. You can log online. I have a 30-part series of surah of Fatiha, a 15-part of surah Kahf. I have many very detailed surah Yusuf. I've done in many, I think over 20 lectures I have in surah Yusuf. So that's a detailed tafsir. And that's one genre of tafsir. This Ramadan, I've decided to do something I've never done before. Brand new class, and that is essentially a summary of the entire Quran, especially for our youth who have never read the Quran, and even for the adults if they've never read it, in a simple language. It's not going to be advanced and going into hermeneutics and philology and the reason why it was revealed and the different rest. None of this, no. It's just going to be in a nutshell. What do we need to know from the first juz? Then the second day, what do we need to know from the second juz? What do I want my own children? I'm going to have my own young teenagers in mind when I'm going to do this class. Like, what do I want them to come with this juz every single day, so that inshallah ta'ala when we finish this journey, at least we'll have a bird's eye view, a holistic, you know, summary of the teachings and the message of the Quran. And that's the goal that I have. I'm very excited. It's a new class for me, and that's going to be every single day, inshallah, live at 10 p.m. From the beginning to the very end. And inshallah ta'ala, it's going to be bi'idhnillahi ta'ala something unique and interesting. So this is our programs in a nutshell. Before I move on, I wanted to show a brief video as well about some of the social outreach programs. I want you to see the video, then I'll come back and I'll explain to you a little bit of what I'm doing and what we're doing here at EPIC. So bismillah, if we can play the video now, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, EPIC has initiated Help Your Neighbor Drive-Through Pantry. This program will happen every Saturday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We have many volunteers who are dedicated. We hope to help as many families as we can as they drive by through. It's a very simple system that we've created here, and the volunteers drop the box, maintaining the social distancing requirements, and safely the people who come to benefit from this, they leave. So we encourage that all those that want to come and benefit from this program, come to EPIC every Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
So, inshallah, that was the brief video. We're going to have more videos about this. I want to just conclude by reminding, by explaining on what you just saw. We have already begun our social outreach programs. And in particular, I want to emphasize four programs that EPIC is doing. Firstly, we're doing Help Your Neighbor. And this is going to be every single Saturday. It's going to be a drive-by. You saw the video over there where anybody, and by the way, all of these programs, all four of them, they are for anybody, regardless of background, regardless of race, regardless of faith, anybody who needs it, that is here. And we need you to spread the word to those who need. This is what our religion commands us to do. It's not just talk. It's not just going to the masjid. Part of our religion, much of our religion, is akhlaq. It is service. It is khidmah. It is feeding the poor. Ramadan is about feeding the poor. Rather than those fancy iftars, this is what we're doing this Ramadan, insha'Allah ta'ala. So the first thing we're doing is we're having your Help Your Neighbor program. And in this Help Your Neighbor, every single Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m., we will be standing outside the masjid, and there's going to be a line of cars, a row of cars, and they're going to come because we've advertised to them. We've handed out pamphlets. Insha'Allah, we're thinking of actually giving paid advertisements if possible, and we want you to spread the word to those who need, anybody who needs food, no questions asked. If you feel that you need food, then we are here for you, inshallah ta'ala, and we're going to give you a box of food products, pasta and rice and wheat, anything that was long term, we're going to be giving it to you, inshallah ta'ala. And we're going to keep our social distancing. We're going to make sure it is done in a proper manner. And inshallah, tomorrow we plan to distribute over 250 boxes. That's just tomorrow. We hope, inshallah, to even increase the number every single Saturday. And we need you to spread the word. If you know anybody that needs any type of assistance, you can even anonymously tell them, just come by here and just stand in line or drive up the car. And from 6 to 7 o'clock, inshallah ta'ala, every single Saturday. The second program is Help Your Neighbor Delivery Service. And this is with collaboration with ICNA, the Islamic Circle of North America, that Help Your Neighbor delivery program. It is, instead of you driving up here, if you are not able to drive for whatever reason, if you're not able to go shopping, then you call us up and inshallah ta'ala, we will deliver groceries to you, or we'll deliver our pantry box to you. We'll deliver our food packages straight to your door if you're not able to leave your house. And this is especially if you know somebody who's elderly, know somebody who's sick, know somebody who doesn't have a car, they're not able to come and drive up to the masjid, or they're for medical reasons, they're not able to go outside, then please give them our number and we will arrange to have the food delivered to them. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, it's not even, Ramadan has not even begun and we already have over 120 houses that we have delivered food to. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. But once again, we need your help to advertise the program. Maybe you have a neighbor who's elderly and they're not able to go shopping. Maybe you know somebody who's sick or who has a child and they're a single parent or whatever it might be and they're not able to leave. This is the perfect thing that we can help them out with, and inshallah ta'ala, just give them our EPIC number and they can then call and have their name added to the Help Your Neighbor delivery program, which is being done in collaboration with ICNA. The third program that we have is the EPIC Medical Call-In Clinic. And this is a hotline. It's a call-in clinic. And the number is 972-277-1523. I'll repeat it again. 972-277-1523. 1523, and maybe if that can be put on the screen as well, if you can put the number on the screen and see if you can keep it there for a while. So the Epic Medical Call-In Clinic. And what the call-in clinic is that during office hours, we have medical staff, we have trained doctors who can answer generic questions. Questions about if you feel you have COVID symptoms or any other issues of a medical nature, just a generic call. Just for your information sake, you can speak to a trained doctor, a physician, and get your questions answered. Again, people of all backgrounds and all faiths, it's the open service. Everybody who wants to, they can do this. It's the Epic Medical Call-In Clinic. Once again, it is 972-277-1523. And the final thing that we have right now is the Epic Teleclinic. The Teleclinic. It's also a medical service, but this is a medical examination. It's not just a call-in. It's not just a quick service to have a generic conversation. For those who need a little bit more analysis, to have a diagnostic done, then over a teleconference, and of course they have the video and whatnot to do that, you can schedule an appointment, and the doctors can examine you via video conferencing, Skype call, or whatever it is the technology they're using, and you can schedule a time in order to get that done, and you can get a more detailed one-on-one with a physician. All of these four programs are absolutely fi sabilillah, absolutely no questions asked, no money at all from the people that are benefiting, and everybody of all backgrounds can benefit equally. It's not just only for our Epic members, it is anybody in the greater Dallas community, because we firmly believe that this is what our religion calls for. As our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that whoever wants to enter Jannah should spread salams to the people and feed food to the hungry and be good to their family and pray at night. This is the month we can do all four of those things. So let's try our best, insha'Allah ta'ala. Now, we don't expect anything from those that are benefiting from these programs, but we all know that these programs, they have a cost. And we expect all of us, all of you watching that alhamdulillah are able to, we expect all of you to chip in, and I'm being brutally honest here. This is the program that we should all be proud of. This is our flagship program. This is what Islam is about, and Epic is going to raise the bar for what a masjid should be like in any city in this world and in this country and in this state of Texas. We will be the Epic Masjid, insha'Allah ta'ala, in this country. I am really proud to be a part of this community and this masjid, and to have these four activities. And that's just the beginning. We need to do much more than this. We want Epic to be the number one center that this whole city knows, that if anybody is hungry, anybody needs a clinical advice, anybody needs anything, they can go to the Muslim community, because they're number one in feeding the hungry. They're number one in distributing pantry food items. They're number one in helping the poor and underprivileged. That's what we want. But in order for that to happen, you and I both know we need not just your dua, not just your support, not just your volunteer hours. And by the way, we also need that. And for those who are in our volunteer groups, they know that we're going to be reaching out to them for some of these things with social distancing, making sure everything is done. But yes, there will be people that we're going to have to bring in to actually volunteer to carry the boxes. You will be contacted if you're on the volunteer list. But we also need all of you, without exception, we need your financial donations if you're able to do that. And I ask all of you to please be generous from now and throughout the month of Ramadan, and continue to give, because I can't think of any better project and cause than to feed the hungry of your own city and your own locality, than to be the flagship masjid. This is real da'wah. Real da'wah isn't handing pamphlets and Qur'ans out. That's 1% of da'wah. Real da'wah is showing what Islam is through your actions, not through your tongue. Showing the akhlaq, showing the reality of our faith, which is service to others for the sake of Allah, not for their sake, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says in the Quran, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. They give food even though they need that food. We are all pinched right now. Maybe not as tough, difficult as the Sahaba, of course, but we're all pinched right now. Allah says they give their food when they most need it. And they give their food to the miskeen, to the yatim, to the prisoner. And they say, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We are feeding you for the sake of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want your thanks. We don't want the people who come to even feel that they are some type of burden. We want them to understand we appreciate them more than they appreciate us. That is the spirit of Islam. We want them to feel honored. And we can do that, inshaAllah ta'ala, by Allah's help and then by your generous support. So please, dear Muslims, dear viewers, if you are a part of this community, or frankly, even if you're not, wherever you're from, this is something all Muslims should be proud of. Please do help out. The information to donate is on your screens right now. So please give whatever you can. And if you're able to even sign up continuously, because really this is an amazing project. And you know what? If this program launches successfully, the sky is the limit to what we can offer. Honestly, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we have the potential to go much more. Why should we only feed 250 people? The joblessness rate in this country has been the highest it's been for 100 years since the Great Depression. This is the opportunity for Muslims to come out as the winners of this entire time frame, to show the people what real faith means. All of this negative PR that's happened for the last 15 years, I swear to you, we have the opportunity in the upcoming months to erase it and all of it. We have the opportunity, and already look at what's happening in England, by the way. In England, the front line of the doctors and medical service people have been Muslims, as you're aware of, and all the deaths as of yet have been from the NHS staff or the hospital staff there. All of them have been people who migrated to England, and the majority of them have been Muslims. And this has caused a huge support for the Muslim community and for the quote-unquote immigrant community. And the far-right parties and the racist people that were always spouting their hatred, they've been very quiet for the last few weeks because they cannot say anything when the dedication of the Muslims and when the dedication of those who came to England is being shown. That's happening over there, and of course their crisis is much worse in terms of the number of deaths, the percentage, as you know, in England and whatnot, and what's happening over there is slightly different. Still, we have that opportunity here to show them what real faith and real Islam is. So I encourage all of you to join with us, and inshallah we can all get the rewards the same. In the end of the day, we're all working together as a team. Epic is doing its job. We need you to do your job as a part of Epic, and put together, inshallah ta'ala, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, we will raise the bar and we will show people what the meaning of Islam is. And with that, I conclude for today's lecture, and I'll be back inshallah on Tuesday to talk about some fiqh questions of Q&A the ahkam and the rulings of fasting. And then Wednesday we'll have our final Day of Judgment talk before Ramadan, and then we'll continue that series after Ramadan. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنها في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال